and maybe the muscles suffer and the nerve endings twing, and there's all kinds of things that happen that make the body feel burdensome. But when the body feels good, those are good feelings, you know? And that's not the evil of the body. So, you know, the body of that he's talking about, another house, it's not much different than this house. It's not about the physicalness of the body. It's about the spirit. That this physical body was dissolved, there would be something there for God to see, not for man to see. I mean, if I disintegrate, they'll be like, what was there? But there would be something there in God's sight. We know this. This is also true of the wicked, what they have. But as it says, if so that being clothed we shall not be found naked. You can, when your body, if your body were dissolved, some people are naked before God. Meaning they have nothing on them. Nothing good built on them. Nothing to cover them. As clothes cover the body. Nothing that God can look at and they would distinguish them. Nothing but sinfulness and wickedness and filth. We have things on us, whether our body is dissolved or not. Whether we're believers or not, there are things there that God will judge and God will look at. We want to be clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. We want to see that which is mortal, that which is perishable in our lives. We want it to vanish. We want it to disappear. We want sin, iniquity, wickedness, evil thoughts, evil deeds, all to be swallowed up. Because all those things are death. Sin is death. We want sin out of our lives, and we want our lives to abound with life. And sometimes that involves the suffering of the flesh. As a Christian, you can be pretty well guaranteed in the flesh, in some fashion, it must include suffering. Because the way you grow up in the world is you learn to love the things that are killing you. Verse 5, he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing. What selfsame thing? For the selfsame thing that mortality might be swallowed up of life. He that hath wrought us to make us, to thoroughly create. God made us for this. He formed us for this. He forms our inner man, and he formed us in the belly. That which came first is that which is earthly, and afterwards that which is heavenly. Because life is the ultimate object. You know, I talked about righteousness, but we want to, you know, clothed with righteousness is to be clothed with life. We want to be clothed with living, not with sin, not with the filthy garments of the righteousness of man, but the pure, unsullied, undefiled righteousness of God, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. He has given us the earnest of the Spirit. And the Spirit of God, when you receive the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, if you like, that is God's down payment to let you know he is serious. So you take him serious. I've often had this question within myself of when people receive the Spirit and then they fall away. I mean, what is with that? Was God not serious? It could be said that he was showing them that he was serious, or he was taking them seriously at what they were trying to do before he would send them away. I don't have a problem with the idea that God would give someone the Holy Ghost, ultimately intending to reject them. I don't have a problem with that. The parable of the talents comes to mind immediately. Not immediately, but right now it just came to my mind, because I thought, well, look at, there we go. He gave that man, in the parable of the talents, he gives his servants, you will remember, he gave one a certain amount, and then he brought back double the amount. And he gave another one a certain amount, and he brought back double the amount. And then he gave one, he had given one talent, which is a unit of measurement, a unit of weight, of goods, quote-unquote, you know. One thing he gave them. He didn't choose them. He didn't give them his righteousness. He gave them his spirit. Perhaps. He gave him one thing. And what did that man do? He buried it in the earth. You know, God, imagine he gives you his Holy Ghost. And you bury it in the flesh. In the things of the world. You bury it under sin and wickedness. You bury it. And, you know, let not a man who does so think that he will receive anything of God on judgment. For in the parable, Jesus said that they would take that man, bind him hand and foot, appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. I think that may not be the exact phraseology. But essentially he said his judgment would go poorly. So, it is very evident to me. The guy, what happens in that case, I suppose, because someone's going to ask me, well, Paul, you believe in election. Why would God give his spirit to someone he knows isn't going to be saved? And I would say, well, he would give it to him based on the fact that, well, he hadn't chosen him, but this person is knocking at his door. Wants to come in. Wants to serve him. I'm so sincere. And so he gives him what he wants. The Holy Spirit. And then that man goes and squanders the gift. That's a possibility. I certainly know that God gives some things to some people and they will not. You know, the parable of the talents is very clear about that. God can be active in your life. But it does not mean he has elected you to salvation. You might just be the fulfillment of his word, of an example of someone who squanders a very great gift. And then you will say to me, but Paul, why does he yet find fault? For who has resisted his will? Romans 9. And the apostle says, who are you that replies against God? Hath not the potter power over the clay? And that's the truth. Why would you say to God, why did you make me this way? Because if he didn't make you the way he made you, you wouldn't have been made at all. It'd be someone else. It's one detail different. One small tiny detail. And your nativity, to make you different, makes you a whole different person. The conscious person you are now,